From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Lisa Mullins. It's Here and Now. Young women starting their careers right now are getting paid closer to what their young male peers make when compared to any other generation, according to a new study. The study comes from the Salary Information Service pay scale. It sheds light on a topic of much debate, the gender pay gap. According to the Census Bureau, that gap is 22 cents with some variations. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from NPR in Washington. Derek, for millennial men and women starting their careers right now, how does the gender gap in pay look for them?
For millennials starting their careers right now, this is the smallest gender pay gap we've seen in generations, potentially in history. The irony, however, is that even as the pay gap is shrinking between generations, it is probably going to grow within this generation, which means the gender gap is both shrinking and growing at the same time.
Why and how would it grow?
Right. The reason it's not a paradox is that what we see typically is that the pay gap is lowest at lower paying jobs and at entry level jobs. And right now, millennial women in particular have an upper hand on men because they have the majority of college degrees. And overall, college degrees do tend to make you less likely to be unemployed and more likely to earn a higher wage. But what we see happen in later decades across all generations is a couple factors. First, we see institutional sexism begin to winnow out successful and smart women. We see some women begin to choose the mommy track, the so-called mommy track. You know, finally, you might also see arrangements between partners where women and men of equal accomplishment and capabilities, the women will defer to their male spouse in their careers later on and allow the man's career to take priority. So for lots of reasons, as we grow up into our 30s and 40s, we should potentially expect this wage gap to open up a little bit more than it is open today.
Okay, so if the higher up the job, the higher up the pay, the more discrimination there is in terms of pay based on gender, how does that sync with the fact that women are holding more executive positions than ever?
Right. So you're looking at the difference between rates and levels, economists would say. The rate of growth of women in the C-suite is higher than ever. But the level is not yet equal. And there are a lot of reasons for this. One way that I heard it described that I think is apt is that it's a race between college and culture. That right now, women make up the majority of bachelor degrees. They make up the majority of master degrees, the majority of PhDs. At the same time, college is working against culture. When you have boards of directors that are, for example, majority white men who graduated from the same cluster of elite schools, like tends to attract like. And so it becomes difficult for people who are not college-educated white men to break into this fraternity.
By the way, does like tend to attract like among women executives, too?
That's a great question. I'm not sure there are enough women executives, unfortunately, for us to make that case. But it is the case that we know of lots of positions that are majority women and attract a majority of women in entry-level positions. Think about elementary school teachers, for example. This is the same for maids or for waiters, potentially, even cashiers. You tend to have a majority of women in a lot of industries for reasons simply because like tends to attract like, and it seems culturally acceptable for those positions to stay female or male-dominated.
But it's unlikely that it's a coincidence that most of those jobs you mentioned are lower-paying jobs.
This is what economists call the sticky floor theory of the wage gap. It is the idea that in low-paying jobs and in entry-level positions, you tend to have a small pay gap. Men and women tend to be paid fairly equally. But when you look up the corporate ladder or you look up the income distribution curve, these are the jobs where you tend to see men paid significantly more than women. Among, for example, physicians or surgeons, chief executives, sales managers, personal financial advisors in the latest census are paid 58 cents if they're a woman to every man's dollar. Remarkably unequal are personal financial advisors. And so this is where the country just has to do better. And there are policy solutions, but then there's also places where culture is just going to have to pick up where college is leading.
And geography matters.
Geography absolutely matters. Let's look, for example, at states. The pay gap closed by 10 percentage points in Wisconsin between 2005 and 2012. That was the best record in the country in terms of the closing of the pay gap. But the pay gap between men and women actually grew slightly in Texas, California, and Colorado over that exact same period of time. So it's just one other example of how the pay gap is not one number. It is many, many numbers cuming to an overall gap. And when we focus too much on that index, on that one number, it overshadows a lot more interesting and nuanced stories.
Is it obvious when it moves, why it moves, when the pay gap closes?
That's a great question. One thing that we have seen in the recession is that a lot of jobs that are male-dominated have really suffered. Construction in particular, which does a great job of soaking up a lot of less educated men. Manufacturing has had a terrible, not just 7 years, but frankly, 50 years. And then a lot of job growth is actually happening in female-dominated industries. Personal health care aides, home health care nurses are growing rather quickly. You have jobs in government and in education that are also growing rather quickly over the last decade. So, you know, even as there is a gender pay gap that disadvantages women that we should focus on, men, particularly less educated men, have a somewhat equal and opposite problem, which is that their jobs are downright disappearing.
So, as you have been saying, this is a multifaceted issue. But at the core, the pay gap, according to the Census Bureau, is at a record low right now, 22 cents, down from 40 cents in 1960. Is there any reason to believe that it will ever be zero?
Yes. The reason to think it will be zero is that college will beat culture, that the amount of the education gap right now advantages women. And there is a lot of attention right now, a lot of pressure, I think, being applied by the media, by a more liberal millennial generation. So a lot of liberal policies are trickling up, which I expect and hope will pressure corporate boards to have more women leading companies. And once you have a record, an institutional legacy of female leaders, it will be much more likely that they hire and look at seriously other female leaders to replace them when they decide to step down.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks very much.
Thank you.